Coming to you live from the international headquarters of the Christian Research Institute, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff. Our ministry exists to provide answers to you, to give proof of Jesus Christ as our hope of eternal life, because truth matters. As you hear today's program and you're interested in the topics discussed and you'd like to find out more, contact the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at www.equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A couple of words about a brand new product and then right to our callers. The product is titled the Apocalypse Code, but this is not just the Apocalypse Code. It is the MP3 version of the Apocalypse Code. It is now downloadable. You can also get it on two MP3 CD discs, which you can play in your car or on your computer. This is a real breakthrough. I read the book myself. It's been a long time in the making. In fact, the music is composed and performed by our own Daniel Record. Approximate running time, 10 hours and 32 minutes. And again, now available. Breaking the Code of the Book of Revelation has become, of course, an international obsession. And the result has been a rampant misreading of Scripture. Bad theology, even bad politics and foreign policy. I argue that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible. Not current events, not recent history, and certainly not any complicated charts. The Apocalypse Code, now available on MP3, offers sane answers to some very controversial questions. Questions like, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation and the rest of the Bible literally? Who are the Antichrist and the great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 600, 60, and 6? How does our view of the end times change the way we think about the crisis in the Middle East? Are two-thirds of all Jews really headed for an apocalyptic Holocaust? The Apocalypse Code is a call to understand what the Bible really says about the end times and why how we understand it matters so much in today's world. Gary Burge, professor of New Testament at Wheaton, says this book is a withering and unrelenting critique of the positions of apocalyptic enthusiasts such as Tim LaHaye. Every fan of the Left Behind series should read this book. The fog will clear, and common sense will return to our reading of the Bible. Again, this product now available on MP3. It's also downloadable. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Let's go right to the phone calls. First up is Diana, listening in Shepherd's, West Virginia. Hi, Diana.
Hi there, Hank. Got a real quick question on your knowledge or on a gentleman I just came across, E. Bernard Jordan. I was curious about his ministry. There were a couple of curiosities about it. He refers to himself as Master Prophet. Also that when you can, quote, get a free written prophecy, and that when you call their 800 number, they offer you for $19.99 Blue Light Special a prophecy, and if you wish to have a larger amount donated, their whole team will prophesy. I'm sorry I'm being a little facetious, but I felt alarmed because it sounded a little bit like selling indulgences, and you know, maybe I'm just totally off base here, and maybe I'm not, and I was just interested to what you've seen on the horizon with this particular ministry.
Well, your discernment is very commendable, and I hope more people have that kind of discernment in the body of Christ, because unfortunately all too many people are believing that people like E. Bernard Jordan is a master prophet, that he is a mouthpiece for God, that he can tell your past, your present, and your future. All of this is false. The words of Jeremiah come to mind. Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. This guy is a false prophet in the worst sense of the word. And quite frankly, although this is just word association for me, when I think of his name, and I've watched him quite a number of times, I think of the words that David penned, "If only you would slay the wicked, O God, away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name." And then David says in this imprecatory psalm, "Do I not hate those that hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies." Why? Because they are taking precious lambs,
yes,
and they are
the
leading them right into the wolf
this
pen.
This is the thing. I'm not one of these prophecy jumpers and hunters or anything, but I just looked across the television and saw this presentation, and I was thinking similar scriptures, but I was thinking in days of old, some of the charlatans for, you know, a mere nickel or dime, they could prophesy your future, and this kind of had this, well, it is the same spirit, it is the same flavor, and I just really hadn't heard of him before. Like I said, I just hadn't been dialing the channel in to get such a television
Yeah, I'll tell you something. I have a hard time watching these guys.
The
Peter Popoff, who is now making a resurgence. All these false prophets, these false teachers, are claiming huge public personas, and unfortunately, discernment has sunk to a very low ebb, and as a result of that, people are falling. And this isn't even the skin of the truth stuffed with a lie. I mean, this is just a false prophet in every sense of the word. It ought to be readily discernible, but yet people are so desperate for answers, they're looking for God in all the wrong places.
I appreciate your taking the call. I really was just dialing in thinking I was going to leave the question to a team there just for an email question, but I do appreciate you taking it, and I'll free you up and on to the next one.
Thank you, Diana. Appreciate your call. I want to go back to the phone lines now, talk to Mary. She's in Wisconsin. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Hank. I committed the unpardonable sin a long time ago, and I just toss and turn all night, and I'm afraid I'm going to go to hell. I'm saved, and I've given my life to the Lord. And I've, you know, after I did that right away, or not right away. I did that on down the line, but I've only done it once, and I'm manic depressant, bipolar, and am I going to go to hell?
Mary, listen to me very carefully. I'm saying this with no equivocation. I'm saying this directly, I'm saying it correctly, and I'm saying it biblically. You have not committed the unpardonable sin, and I don't even know you. But I can say that with absolute certainty, without a whisker of a doubt, because the unpardonable sin is not an act. It is a continuous, willful, ongoing rejection of Jesus. And you have just communicated that you did something at a particular time. That is not the unpardonable sin. The only thing that becomes unpardonable is if you reject Jesus continually. And you've also said that you do not now reject Jesus. In fact, he is your Savior. Therefore, you have not committed the unpardonable sin. You should confess, however, your doubt in his promise. He says this, "Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has everlasting life, will not be condemned. He, she has crossed over from death to life." So if you can say right now, I am a sinner, repented of my sin, and I have received Jesus Christ
and I have received Jesus Christ
as Savior and Lord,
as Savior and Lord.
You are His and He is yours, based on His promise. So it's not
a function. And He is mine, based on His promise.
Yeah, it's not a function of your feeling. And it's not a formula. I didn't get you to repeat something so you're repeating a mantra or a formula and you're out by some magic wand. No, this is His promise in the Word of God, which is to say, if you believe on Jesus Christ, if you realize that He is Savior and Lord, if you are depending on Him alone, you have everlasting life based on His promise. And you have a bigger promise, and that is the one who saved you is also going to sanctify you, which is another way of saying He's going to daily conform you to His image. He's going to change you. So what you have to do is take part in the spiritual means of grace, which is to say you should be studying the Word of God, you should be praying, you should be involved in a healthy, well-balanced church. And as a result of partaking of the means of grace, you will grow in the grace and knowledge of your Savior Jesus Christ, and He will become ever more real to you, and Satan will never again be able to delude you into thinking that you are not a child of God.
But the basic thing here is that the unpardonable sin is an ongoing, willful rejection of Jesus Christ.
And not an act.
And not turning back.
Yeah, and it's not a single act. So when you say, I committed the unpardonable sin, you're wrong. You did not commit the unpardonable sin. You have sinned, but the unpardonable sin is not an act, it's a continuous action. Do you understand the difference?
Yes.
Okay, so you don't ever fall for this again, because this will, particularly in the state in which you, this will terrorize you. And there's no need for it.
It scares the heck out of me.
Yeah, but and that's the point. You don't want to be paralyzed by fear. You want to be animated by faith. Faith in the Word of God.
I am manic depressant. Can I ask you this one more time? It's an ongoing, willful, the unpardonable sin is an ongoing, willful rejection of Jesus Christ and not turning back. And I am saved and repented. If I died tonight, I'd go to heaven.
Absolutely. Based on His word, you would go to heaven.
That's wonderful.
He is not looking for a way to keep you out, my dear. He is looking for a way to embrace you with His love.
Thank you so much, Hank.
Now,
here's
what I want you to do, Mary. I want you to hang on, because I want to send you something that reinforces what I said in writing. So if you ever come to the place again in your life where you're terrorized by this fear, you go back to what I wrote. It's not because I wrote it, but what I wrote you can check in light of what really matters, the Word of God. The scripture verses are there for you, and you can cling to your faith, and you say, these are His promises for me. I am His child, and never fall into that slough of despond again.
That's wonderful. That is wonderful. And you're going to do that when I'm off the line?
Yeah. As soon as you're off the line, someone will pick up and they'll get this information into your hands. And my prayers, along with what we send you, so that you might have complete freedom in Christ in the truest sense of the word.
Thank you, Hank. Thank you so much.
Well, bless you, Mary. Thank you so much. I'm so delighted that you called. I never want you to be tormented with this fear again.
I won't be, no.
Bless you.
Thank you.
And of course, you know what's so interesting for everybody listening in, those who have committed the unpardonable sin, this continuous ongoing rejection, they'd have no godly regrets, as Mary has. Paul emphasizes in the book of Romans, they not only continue in their evil ways, but they approve of others who do so as well. And conversely, or on the other hand, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation. Sorrow for sin and the desire for Christ's forgiveness is proof positive that you have not rejected the Savior of your soul. Never forget that three times Peter denied his Lord, and he did so with vile oaths, and yet Not only did Christ forgive him, but his confession, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," became the cornerstone of the Christian church. What a joy to give joy where joy is needed, to give hope where hope is needed. And that's not just something that I do as an electronic voice, it's something that you should do. You have an opportunity as a believer to be the balm of Gilead in the life of another person, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Information on these and many other questions available in my book titled The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out online at www.equip.org. We'll be right back with your questions, including why forbid eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Has the Bible Answer Man broadcast impacted your life? Have you been equipped to defend your faith? If so, consider becoming a Bible Answer Man support team member. In doing so, you'll be making an eternal investment in a ministry that equips believers to discern truth from error and to think Christianly about life's most important questions. As a new member of the Bible Answer Man support team, we will send you a copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, personalized by Hank. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is an indispensable resource that will not only provide answers to your questions, but equip you to answer questions raised by family and friends. To join the Bible Answer Man support team, just go to equip.org/donate. Again, that's equip.org/donate. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Stay tuned. The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment. Have you ever been asked the question, if God is good, why is there so much evil and suffering in the world? As Christians, how should we respond to this question? In his book, The End of Christianity, Finding a Good God in an Evil World, Dr. William Dembski writes to make peace with three claims. God, by wisdom, created the world out of nothing. God exercises particular providence in the world. And all evil in the world ultimately traces back to human sin. In the process, Dembski brings the reader to a fresh understanding of what the end result of Christianity really means. The radical realignment of our thinking so that we see God's goodness in creation, despite the distorting effects of sin in our hearts and evil in the world. Order The End of Christianity from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Some teachers outside the church proclaim we are God.
I'm just curious, where does God come into the whole secret?
Good question.
Yeah, God is all of us.
Other teachers inside churches proclaim that we are God.
If dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together, what are they producing?
Well, who is God? Are we God? Everyday people make significant life and death, health and financial decisions based on faulty information about who God is and what He promises. And that is precisely why Hank Hanegraaff has written Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To get your copy of Hank's Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The recent tragic rash of suicides among homosexual teens has raised the question of whether Christian teaching about homosexuality inspires bullying and violence against homosexuals. Learn not only how these accusations do not stand up under scrutiny, but also why it's essential that we examine ourselves and our rhetoric in Joe Dallas's article entitled, "The Bully Pulpit: When Gay Teens Commit Suicide, Are Preachers to Blame?" Other topics include Old Testament storytelling apologetics, the Christian citizen, what skeptics want Christians to know, a critique of director George Nolfi's The Adjustment Bureau, the popular Ask Hank column, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Have you ever been asked the question, if God is good, why is there so much evil and suffering in the world? As Christians, how should we respond to this question? In his book, The End of Christianity, Finding a Good God in an Evil World, William Dembski writes to make peace with three claims. God, by wisdom, created the world out of nothing. God exercises particular providence in the world. And all evil in the world ultimately traces back to human sin. In the process, Dr. Dembski brings the reader to a fresh understanding of what the end result of Christianity really means. The radical realignment of our thinking so that we see God's goodness in creation, despite the distorting effects of sin in our hearts and evil in the world. As our way of saying thank you for your generous support, we'll send you The End of Christianity by William Dembski. Contact the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And speaking of William Dembski, he's going to be on the broadcast tomorrow as we talk about his book again, a book that I'm really excited about. It's called The End of Christianity, Finding a Good God in an Evil World. We're not only going to be talking about the problem of evil and how you can reconcile that from a Christian worldview, how old other worldviews simply cannot do that in a satisfactory way, but we'll also be talking about the whole issue of origins. Is it a young earth? Is it an old earth? Should you believe progressive creationism, young earth creationism, theistic evolution? What about the intelligent design movement and much, much more? Your questions for William Dembski. We'll try to take a few more of your calls tomorrow on this topic. But here's a man who I think is one of the premier thinkers when it comes to the issue of origins. And this is not just any issue. How one views their origins determines how they live their life. So it is a seminal issue. I call it not a apologetic issue, but the apologetic issue. In other words, if you want to defend the faith, you need to be able to demonstrate that the Darwinian paradigm is bankrupt. Whether you talk about Darwin himself or neo-Darwinism, it is a bankrupt paradigm in an age of scientific enlightenment. There is absolutely no possibility that evolution on a macro scale could be correct. It simply flies in the face of reason. We'll be talking about all that and more on tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We want you to join us with your questions. Again, for William Dembski, he is a bright, godly man, a voice that really needs to be heard, and that's why we've had him on every Tuesday this month. We'll have him on tomorrow. And then the last Tuesday of the month, as again, we talk about The End of Christianity, which is a book available for your donation to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. It's a $22.99 book. Now think about this for a moment. These are the dog days of summer. This is where ministries really hurt. We have a hard time paying our bills during July. And yet, through a step of faith, we're wanting to put this book into your hands. We're trusting that you'll be generous. But we want to put it in your hands, even though it's very costly for us to purchase and to give to you for your donation. We're doing it because it's a very important resource. It'll help you. It'll equip you. It'll make you an ever more usable tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit. You can order via the web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letter CRI, let's go back to the phone lines, talk to James in Vancouver, British Columbia, listening on KARI. Hi, James.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
The question I had was, how does the Scriptures reveal to us why God would forbid us from eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil?
Yeah. It's a good question, and this is one of those very significant issues that come right to the fore at the beginning of our reading of the Bible.
Yes.
Where we encounter the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and it's a prime example of physical reality highlighting spiritual truth. God placed the tree in the middle of paradise as a test. Satan, of course, took the tree and perverted it as a temptation. So here's the deal. In eating from the tree of which God said, when you eat of it, you will surely die, Adam now challenges God as the arbiter of good and evil. So the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is emblematic of choice. Choice between obedience and disobedience. Putting it another way, perhaps between majestic revelation, which is God's truth, and moral relativism, which is my truth. So here you have the choice of doing it God's way or your own way, of saying, I know what's good and evil, I'll be that chooser, or I'm going to subject myself to the one who created me and is the one who tells me what is good and what is evil. So that's what that tree becomes emblematic of it. And Adam sinned by partaking, as did Eve. And yet God responds in mercy. He drives him from the garden so that he no longer has access to the tree of life, because to do otherwise would have doomed humanity to endless physical existence in a fallen spiritual state, which, of course, is precisely what hell is. Hell, however, can still be averted, and paradise can be regained. I mean, that's the hope of the believer. Through resurrection, for those who have faith in Jesus Christ, we will once again have access to paradise.
If I may verbalize it in my simple ways, it was God's intent to prove to men that men on their own can do no really good except by God's grace and His mercies.
Well, yes, and I would say a little bit more about this. Here's what's going on. We have to either decide that God is going to be the sovereign of the universe, or we're going to be sovereigns of our own universe.
Right.
And the difference is all the difference in the world. And this is why the issue of origins is a seminal issue. When we decided that we were going to replace God, and that's exactly what Adam and Eve did in eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we have a newfound autonomy by sacrificing truth on the altar of subjectivism. So now ethics and morals are not determined on the basis of objective standards, but rather by our own opinion. And with no enduring reference point, what happens? Societal norms are reduced to mere matters of preference. So now Adam and Eve decides. In a Christian worldview, what we have is God who lays down moral truth. It's no longer subjective, it's objectively revealed to us. And that's the issue in the garden. Adam and Eve want to take the place of God and say, my truth prevails over your truth. Whenever you do that, truth becomes subjective because people have different opinions.
So once again, I can say with Paul, no good dwelleth in me, but by the grace of God, I'm being saved.
Amen. And this is the thing that's so beautiful. I mean, out of that temptation came the best of all possible worlds, a world in which we will forever be able not to sin.
Right. And this gives me more adoration for a God who has revealed this to me through you and many others, that it's really dependence on God, and we are okay.
Amen. Yes. Yeah, it gives us great security because now we have a North Star instead of, you know, all kinds of different opinions. We have a North Star by which we can set our sail.
May I ask one more question, Hank?
Yeah.
The other question was, I was reading the Gospel of John and 14, 15, 16, 17th chapter, and I find Jesus repeating certain words more often in those chapters, and those words were, abide in me, I in you, you in me, and as the Father and I are one, he in me, I. What's the purpose of that repetition? Can you expound on that?
Well, yeah. I mean, there are a couple of things that you have through repetition, and that is that John is driving forth a truth. Remember that John does not necessarily lay things out chronologically. He lays things out thematically, and in doing that, he is driving forth a truth. Not only the truth that Jesus and the Father are one, so if you've seen Jesus Christ, you've seen God, all the fullness of deity dwelt in Jesus Christ in bodily form, as the Apostle Paul would later say, but we also have the truth that abiding in him is abiding in truth, because Jesus Christ is the very personification of truth. It also means that we are yoked to the Master. We are unified with the Master. The chasm between creature and creator, of course, will never be bridged. But now we have come into intimacy with the lover of our souls. And John, the apostle of love, is driving that home through repetition and through a thematic presentation of Christ's earthly sojourn.
You know, I was talking to my grandson. He's 9 years old. And we were sharing, I in you, you in me, says very simply that as I give you the freedom to choose and free will, God is saying the same thing, that you do the same to me, which gives us a lot more freedom rather than me binding on him, saying you have to do it, you have to do it, you must do it. We give ourselves that freedom so God can choose to do what he wants to do with me, is my freedom, rather than my saying God will take care of me, God will do this, because I leave myself in an open place, which is called for me freedom, and my immune system is better. And it helps me discover who God is by the hour, depending on how he proves himself.
Yeah, and of course, John 15 is a beautiful passage in this regard, where a vine is used as a similitude, one thing representing something else. And so you have a vine, a plant that spreads. And in like fashion, Christians are known for spreading the good news of Christ the Messiah. Christ is the vine, we are the branches, and many who pass as branches do not bear fruit. They're only tied to Christ by an outward profession, not an inward reality. So they are professors as opposed to possessors. They profess to be Christians, but they don't possess the inward reality. On the other hand, living branches are grafted into the vine, and they can be pruned, and as a result, bear much fruit. Dead branches are only tied to the vine and can only be cut off and thrown into the fire. It is a dramatic as well as a beautiful similitude that points out that there are only two kinds of people in the world, those who are in Christ and those who are outside of Christ. And this is not something you can say glibly, because it has an eternal destiny in view. I'll be right back in just a few moments with more of your questions answered right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We're going to talk about a Jack Van Impe prophecy, it looks like. Jeremy's up next on the other side of the break. Stay tuned for that.
With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust, all designed to equip you to defend the faith and deepen your discernment skills. Search for articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man online, or a 3-minute Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer Bible questions. You can also connect with us by signing up for our e-newsletter and receive special benefits. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Don't tune out. The Bible Answer Man will return in a moment. Master the defense of the resurrection in minutes and remember it for a lifetime with the Hankronym series, Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. To make the facts of the resurrection memorable and easily referenced, Hank has developed the Hankronym Feat and created the second in a series of specifically designed flip charts. Laminated, tabbed, and sized to fit in your pocket, this incredible tool will allow you to defend the truth of the resurrection on a moment's notice. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or when you go online to equip.org. When Charles Darwin was writing his famed The Origin of Species, it was well known at the time that the first fossils of animals appeared suddenly and without predecessors. So there was a deep dilemma about what his theory told him to expect to find and the facts. Darwin's Dilemma on DVD explores the mystery of the Cambrian explosion and the scientific controversy that still surrounds it. Where are the missing transitional forms that Darwin's theory requires? Can any undirected evolutionary process explain the origin of animals? Filmed on 4 continents, this fascinating documentary examines some of the most important fossil discoveries ever made. The Cambrian explosion was actually an explosion of biological information, information that points unmistakably to foresight, purpose, and intelligent design. Order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff is the culmination of over 20 years of faithful study and answering questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With short, succinct answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith, the Complete Bible Answer Book will give you confidence in what you believe and why you believe it. Written in Hank's concise, 3-point, easy-to-memorize fashion, the Complete Bible Answer Book is an essential tool for the beginner as well as the seasoned apologist. Consider it your one-stop Christian apologetics handbook. When you become a Bible Answer Man support team member, we'll send you the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition as our way of saying thank you. Order for yourself, a friend, or get a personalized copy when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Probing today's religious movements, promoting doctrinal discernment and critical thinking, and providing reasons for faith and ethics, the Christian Research Journal is an award-winning magazine that no Christian should be without. Be prepared with the knowledge you need to defend the faith. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Well, now let's get back to the Bible Answer Man. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll get right back to your questions. Before I do that, however, I do want to mention something. As I said at the very beginning of this broadcast, these are the dog days of summer. It's always tough for ministry, and we had a goal that we had to meet in June. We didn't quite reach that goal, though we came fairly close. Therefore, I need your help more than ever this month, and one of the things we've been doing is offering the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition for your gift of $100 or more but it's personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. The book is also available when you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. So check that out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. This is a way of building a base for the ministry so that we can sustain the difficult months without cutting back on any of the ministry opportunities that we have, which, again, it's not about the size of our ministry. It's about reaching people, which this ministry does. And we're doing it in a unique fashion. One thing you can tell by listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and reading our materials is that we're never going to be politically correct. It's just not in our DNA. It's not what we're called to do. We do what we do because truth matters. So we let the chips fall where they may, and that doesn't often make you popular, but it is necessary. So we are, in that sense, a media voice that is unique. You can trust what we say has been well-researched, carefully examined. The ultimate arbiter is the Word of God. We're intent on learning to read the Bible for all it's worth, or as I like to say, mine the Bible for all of its wealth. So please stand with us prayerfully and financially because truth matters. Your gift this month, critical to the ministry, to the outreach, to touching lives for time and for eternity. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jerry listening on Bot Radio in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Jerry.
Hello, Hank. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. First off, I would like to support your show tomorrow. I think evolution flies in the face of science also, and I have a lot of defense of that position, so you're going to have a great show tomorrow.
Thank you.
Now, my question is, you know, I've watched Jack Van Impe on TV. I get the weekly emails from him. I go to his website, and I've researched. I've never seen anywhere where he has given a specific date. I was wondering where you saw that so I could find it.
Yeah, well, why don't I just play a Jack Van Impe clip? And what you should note when I play this is that he gives and he taketh away. Listen to this.
In Luke chapter 3, it has all the begats, and this one begat the other one, etc. 77 generations are mentioned from Adam to Christ, 4,000 years. 4,000 divided by 77 comes out to 52 years. Oh, we're excellent now.
Oh,
what's
yeah.
the countdown? I say it again, Daniel 9, verse 24. Jerusalem! Add 52 to 1967 when they took Jerusalem. Comes to 2019. Wait a minute. You got your 7-year period of tribulation there. We've been gone before that started. 7 from 2019 is 2012, right around December 21st. Now, Rexel, I'm not setting a date.
Yeah.
not setting a date.
Oh, it's exciting. Jesus says you won't know the day and the hour, Matthew 24:36, but you'll know when it's near, even at the door. I can hear the knock right now. It's that near. And it could very easily be December 21st, 2012. But I won't set that date.
So notice here a couple of times that he comes up with a formula, and he comes up with a specific year, and he comes up with a specific time frame, and then he subtracts the 7 from it, and he says, but I'm not setting dates. And then he goes on with 3 more biblical passages that support his premise, but I'm not setting the date. So he sets the date all the while not setting the date. And he's been doing this over the years. He says Christ is right at the door. He has slight variations. Christ, he said, initially will return somewhere between 2001 and 2012. Then he said maybe his return will be in 2018, with the rapture occurring in 2011, and then he was saying between 2002 and 2018, then he revises it to 2019 with a 2012 rapture, and on it goes, and then he even associates it with the Mayan calendar. He not only gets the Mayan calendar wrong, by the way, because there's not an end date with the Mayan calendar, it's one cycle after the other, but he also gets all of the biblical passages 100% wrong in terms of his interpretation. So he says he's not setting a date, all the while setting a date, and then he doesn't have a radar fix on how to read the Bible for all it's worth.
Well, you know, I'm an engineer, by training, some, you know, on or off. And he is saying, when he says, I am not setting a date, I take that to mean he's not setting a date. When he says, the Bible says, there is no way to know the hour or the day, that means to me that he understands the Bible says there's no way to know the hour or the day.
Right, but he says you'll know when it's near, even at the door. So he's not saying the hour or the day. That's his escape clause. I'm not setting the hour or the day, but I'm giving you the time frame, plus or minus. But he's giving you the time frame. You, as an engineer, should surely be able to understand the English and the argument. And not only that, but listen, he has misinterpreted three biblical texts in a row. So if you know anything about reading the Bible, you immediately know that he's turning texts into pretexts. So he's not reading the Bible, he's abusing the Bible.
And, you know, as an engineer, I do look at things logically, and I do look at, you know, facts.
Okay, well, let's look at this fact as an engineer.
Okay.
Here's a fact. You're an engineer, you read the Bible, right?
I definitely do.
Okay, so you're very familiar with the genealogies that he references in Matthew.
I'm not as sure of them as he is, or you are. You guys.
Well, I'm just saying these are basic. This is the first chapter of Matthew.
But let me give one point.
I want to finish this point because I'm asking you the most basic of all points. I'm not asking you a difficult thing. The most basic of all points. Here, Matthew has organized his genealogy skillfully, hasn't he? You see that as an engineer.
Incredible, yeah.
So he has three sets of 14, adding up to 42. Now, is that the totality of the genealogies?
I don't have Matthew open. I don't know where it starts. Does it start with Abraham? Or does it start with Adam? I don't have it open right now.
It doesn't start with either. One of the genealogies, Luke's goes back to Adam. The other goes back to Abraham. But here's the point. I guess maybe I'll just make the point.
Be
simpler, more to the point. The genealogies, in concert with many other things that are presented in the Gospels, are skillfully organized. For example, Jesus, in the genealogy that is presented of him by Matthew, his genealogy is developed into three groups of 14, and that's the numerical equivalent of the Hebrew letters in King David's name. It doesn't give you a way of coming up with a chronology, and that's precisely what Jack Van Impe did in the clip that I just played. But this is not the only clip. Here's another one.
In Matthew 1:17, there are 42 generations from Abraham until Christ. What? 2,160 years divided by 42 is 51.2. In Luke chapter 3, verses 23-38, there are 77 generations into 4,000 years from Adam to Christ, and that comes out to 51.2. And if you add the extra 6 months, because the Six-Day War took place in June, you're almost at 52 years. You add 52 to 1967, and you come out pretty close to 2018, 2019, subtract 7 years from that. We're talking about 2012. Remember what I said 2 weeks ago? The main calendar ends December 21st, 2012. It's all near, ladies and gentlemen. I don't believe in setting dates, Matthew 24:36, but Jesus said, when you shall see all these signs and they're here, then you'll know it's near, even at the door, Matthew 24:33.
You got to admit, he's being pretty specific. I mean, he's not just saying 50 years or 51 years. He's saying 51.2 years. He's also giving us an exact start date, 1967. So you can tell that even if he says, I'm not setting dates, he's saying, I don't mean the exact day. It's not going to be Wednesday or Thursday. I can't tell you that. But he's giving you the time frame within parameters such that it comes up to a year that corresponds to the Mayan calendar. This is precisely what he just said.
Yes, and Jack loves Jesus. Jack brings people to Jesus every week, as you do.
Well, I can't judge his heart. I don't have the ability to judge his heart. I mean, that may be a skill you have, but I don't have that skill. I don't pretend to judge his heart. That's not the point here. I'm testing his words in light of Scripture. You know, to judge his heart is the province of the Holy Spirit. It's not my province. It's not what we do at the Christian Research Institute. But I'm just telling you what he says. And what he says has extreme ramifications in the lives of real people. And that's why I'm concerned. Beg your pardon?
That's where you're going too far. Because the Bible does also say we are to know or anticipate the end.
Where does it say that?
I'll have to Google it. And I'll find it. But we are supposed to be ready any day. I'm ready today for Jesus to return because I'm a sinner, and the only way I get to heaven is through Jesus.
Yes.
Every day I thank him for dying for me and thank him for suffering for all of my sin.
Amen.
Without his suffering for my sin, I don't belong in heaven, not by my works. I definitely can't get there through my works.
Well, that's beautifully
said. Every day I'm prepared for the end.
Well, that's beautifully said, and I think that's the operative point. I mean, the operative point is exactly what you just said so clearly, Jerry. I mean, we have to be prepared as though he may come any moment and prepare as though his coming may be a long way off. We have no idea when Jesus Christ is going to come. We don't know if it's going to be in the next 10 years, in the next 1,000 years, in the next 2,000 years. We have no way of knowing that, because the Bible simply doesn't tell us. It doesn't give us any clues whatsoever when, only that Jesus Christ will appear a second time, and we have every warrant, based on the Word of God, to believe that with all our hearts. That's what we can trust in.
Yes, and we can definitely agree on that.
We certainly can.
I would say, just, you know, try to lay off a Jack, go to after Rob Bell, Rick Warren. Those guys, those are the guys that are leading people away from Jesus.
Well, you asked me a question about Jack Van Impe and his date setting, and I answered that question specifically. That's what we do here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And let me tell you, ideas have consequences. Jack Van Impe is teaching people a lot of bad theology and giving them a bad template for reading the Bible, and I think that's a very serious thing. We'll leave it at that. Thank you very much for your very kind communication on this particularly significant subject. You know, there's hundreds of people calling in. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls. So if you're hanging on right now, just keep hanging on. I'll take your call. If you want to call in during the next hour, here's the number. I'll try to get to your questions as well. 888-ASK-HANK. You can call that for the next hour right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast as we continue answering your calls. Call right now, 888-ASK-HANK for the next hour. Thanks for tuning in on today's broadcast. See you next time for more.
On today's show, we've mentioned several resources that would be a great help to you or someone you know. So contact the Christian Research Institute and let us help equip you with just the right resource so you can defend the faith. Either call us at 888-7000-CRI, again that's 888-7000-CRI, or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. You're also welcome to visit our website at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. Have you ever been asked the question, if God is good, why is there so much evil and suffering in the world? As Christians, how should we respond to this question? In his book, The End of Christianity, Finding a Good God in an Evil World, Dr. William Dembski writes to make peace with three claims. God, by wisdom, created the world out of nothing. God exercises particular providence in the world. And all evil in the world ultimately traces back to human sin. In the process, Dembski brings the reader to a fresh understanding of what the end result of Christianity really means. The radical realignment of our thinking so that we see God's goodness in creation, despite the distorting effects of sin in our hearts and evil in the world. Order The End of Christianity from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. and Canagraph has put together the best articles from the Christian Research Journal into three books designed to equip you with a Christian worldview and help you become an effective witness. The book entitled What is Truth teaches you to counter the sweet poison of relativism that seeks to destroy truth and the people of the God of truth. Whose ethics, whose morals weighs the trend of moral relativism and the notion that right and wrong are simply a matter of opinion. And Islam, What You Must Know, not only presents a true picture of Muslims in our community, but also ways to reach them for Christ. Order What is Truth, Whose Ethics, Whose Morals, and Islam, What You Must Know for a special package price by contacting the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or you can order this package online at equip.org. That's equip.org.